Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 471. Science Faction, I call BS.
This is Science Faction. I'm getting back at Damien for a number of very justified things that he's done to me throughout the
You
years.
Literally stabbed me in the back one time with a knife. Not a metaphorical stabbing, an actual, like, a shanking in the back with a knife.
And while that's a big attention grabber, probably not the worst thing I've done, so...
You've hit me with a car twice.
Okay.
Three times. Once was my car.
It was part of a school project once with your car.
Yes, but the other two times were not.
Yeah, okay, the other time... You looked at me and said, and I quote...
Oh, I looked at you! Right, hold on. Audience, just listen to Damien's justification while he struck me with a motor vehicle. You looked at me.
You turned around. I knew where it was. I was pretending like I was going to hit you. You wanted to call my bluff because you're such a tough guy picking on a small import Asian vehicle. It's a Nissan, Bobby. It's a Nissan. You turned around, and this part is true... Because he didn't think I'd do it, like, because he thought he was dealing with a human. And he puts both of his hands out in front of him, as, you know, when Bruce Lee would put one hand out and, like, do the come on? He put both hands out in front of him, says, come on, imitating our football coach, a beloved figure, by the way. And to which I just kept coasting and saw him roll over my hood.
And the trunk, too, if you remember correctly, over the backside, great times.
Imagine if you were just driving by the school, like you were driving by a high school, and you saw one kid hit another kid with a car, then drive away laughing.
Fucking pre-9/11 was great times. All right. And speaking of pre-9/11, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damien Ricardo. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Notice how I show up every week for my punishment.
That's right.
I don't skip it. I don't call in.
And I drive away laughing.
Exactly.
All right, let's move right on to I Call BS.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
You were walking with friends, too, by the way.
What was your reaction? I know. They were unhappy. But that was true. See, I had the misfortune of I was like in the AP classes and the IB classes and stuff. And so I had that group of friends and we were all like competing for valedictorian and you know, doing like extracurriculars and doing all that stuff. And then I had my friends, like the people I enjoyed hanging out with, who were all degenerate scumbags. No offense, Damien.
I get it.
I was told that by teachers and friends and other people. Like, why are you hanging out with these quote-unquote degenerate scumbags?
And I was
like, they're funnier than you. No, you're not even close.
I wasn't the worst. I was mid.
Like, in terms of stabbing and vehicular assault, yeah, you were the worst. But, like, in terms of just general humanness, no, not even close.
Yeah. Your teachers asked some very warranted questions. Looking back, they cared.
Why do you have stab wounds and bruises?
Nothing, I fell.
All right, article number one. A parasitic fungus that slowly eats away the abdomen of certain species of cicada has been discovered to be able to take over the brains of cicadas using psilocybin, then cause them to act like females, compelling other male cicadas to come mate with them, ending in the new males becoming infected with the fungus, which is now an STD. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, and this also sounds like something that I feel like a homosexual repressed preacher in the American South will cite this study as, I got bitten by a homosexual who looked like a lady. He had one of them cicada funguses.
So you're saying like this was Ted Haggard's first line of defense when he went to court? Yeah. Is like wide stance slash...
You don't understand, he was like a Bugs Bunny type thing happening over there. That gentleman, no, he looked like a Jennifer Lopez in her prime, which by the way is almost any day of Jennifer Lopez's adult life up until age 60.
But I feel like that same Southern preacher would also then look around and realize he had violated another taboo, which is interracial dating, and then be like, I meant Gwyneth Paltrow. She's a shapely woman.
I meant Paula Deen.
All right, Damien, this is actually science. So we talked before about brain control funguses. We talked about toxo, which is actually not a fungus. It's a small creature. This is a fungus. We talked about other ones that infect the brains of, for instance, ants and get them to crawl to the tallest piece of grass so that they then get eaten because it wants to be in like a sheep's stomach. We talked about all of these and we're finding more and more all the time. This latest one, we knew it was a fungus. Like we knew it affected cicadas. It eats away at their abdomen. It's actually gross. It like basically slowly eats away at their abdomen and then replaces it with spores that will then fly off. Its life cycle is essentially taking your body and utilizing it to harbor its young.
Plays the long game. Every 17 years, this fungus waits to strike.
Yeah, and just remember, not all cicadas are on that 17-year cycle. Those are only certain species. So the reason these funguses can stay alive so much is because they you know, can affect annual cicadas. But what wasn't known about this fungus was that it's also infecting the cicada's brain and getting it to flap its wings like a female. So this cicada, male cicada, catches this fungus, right? Starts growing in it. It doesn't just grow in its abdomen, which is where we thought before. It gets up and grows in its brain. And we don't know how. It's maybe a chemical signal, a rewiring. Maybe it eats away at some part of the thing that gives it male reflexes, but for whatever reason, after it does this, the male starts flapping its wings in the style of a female ready for mating.
Whoa, hey, you come to Birmingham often, ma'am? I ain't never seen somebody with your curves around here before. Damn, girl.
Yeah, it's like this weird fucking like zombie form of cicada version of the crying game, kind of. So it makes it do this like female wing flap. Then other male cicadas, which are healthy and not infected with the fungus, they're flying over. They see the female.
Look at that. My baby flap them wings, girl.
And it immediately comes up and starts trying to mate with the male cicada, thereby getting infected with the fungus. It flies off and just the whole story starts over again.
I've never been more sympathetic to a science story in my life, sir. Let me tell you what, like, if only I could go back in time and tell me not to... Satan is a man dressed up as Jennifer Lopez. I know that now.
Satan dressed like a man and looks like a man, but at his heart, he's given off the vibe of Jennifer Lopez so that he can trick good Christians like me.
I mean, yes, I would do it again in a second if my congregation could not find out, but...
One of the chemicals that we found that this particular fungus was extruding into the brains of these cicadas was psilocybin. So basically the active chemical in hallucinogenic mushrooms. Now, it doesn't mean that if you just give psilocybin to one of these cicadas, they'll start acting like a female. But it is one component of what is going on in the head. So psilocybin, the thing that people are using to trip out on at fish concerts, is literally the thing that this fungus, at least part of the thing that this fungus is using to control different cicadas and spread itself through their population like an STD. Very cool stuff. Article number two. Four newly discovered species of assassin fly have been discovered and named after DC characters Superman fly, Batman fly, Luther fly, and Joker fly. Damien, is this science or bad science?
As much as I want to see a fly eventually down the road with question marks all over its body, and as much as I want to see fly battles just happening in front of me between two powerful flies, I'm going to say bad science. Simply because I'm a Marvel boy, and and I would have liked to have seen a Captain America fly, a Hulk fly, and a Thanos fly, which keeps all the other populations of flies in check.
I believe you left out Cypher fly, Damien.
That is such a deep cut. You know, we are used to having references on this show that no fan will understand. Yeah. But if you want to take...
Even superfan Dwayne is Googling right now. He's like, what the fuck is a cipher?
I don't know if we got X-Men comics circa 1983, Danny New Zealand. I'm very sorry for butchering your country's proud accent every time.
Damien, you're going to be really happy. This is bad science. They were named after Marvel characters.
So I'm a scientist. I'm a scientist.
That's not how that works.
Consult the rule book. Hold on, wait. I'm looking at it now.
If you are able to correctly predict it, you would be considered a scientist. Oh my God, David, you are right. You would be
in the call. In the call, right now.
Hold on. There's an asterisk. Assuming no bad Southern Hemisphere accents were used during the announcement of your answer. I'm sorry, Damien. We have to cut you out on that one.
You know what? I stand by. Dwayne, you should be thanking me for the incredible impersonation, the homage that I do for New Zealand and the rest of you Kiwis.
So they were indeed Marvel characters. They have now Black Widow Fly, which is somewhat confusing. They have Thor Fly, Loki Fly, and Stan Lee Fly.
I like the last one. The last one made me smile. That's just a...
Yeah, little homage there, right?
Yeah. You know, I can't help but think about Stan Lee and think about while he was doing those Marvel movies, like near as Marvel was like pushing him out to do every movie he could before he finally died, that there was a lot of elder abuse happening behind the scenes.
All right, article number 3. A new, supposedly more precise calculation of the age of the universe estimates it to be much younger than the current scientific consensus. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science, and no matter how many times Ken Ham tries to publish under various aliases, my name is Mendam, and Jean-Claude Mendam, in order to publish a study. This is Australian accent, completely different than New Zealand accent.
Well, no, isn't Ham New Zealand? I think Ham is New Zealand.
No, I was corrected. Yeah, I thought so too, except I was corrected by superfan Dwayne, who said he's Australian.
Oh, okay, well, I guess he would know.
No, let's Southern Hemisphere explain. Let's mansplain just a bit. Now, let me tell you about this, Dwayne. Ken Ham is a proud New Zealander, and I will edit Wikipedia.
Oh, dear. Actually, Damien, I hate to break it to you. This one is science.
Boo.
So we had a range of the previous estimate of the age of the Earth, and it was big enough that it actually did encompass this, but it was not what we thought it was. This would be at the lower end of the range. We thought maybe 12 billion to 14-something billion, but the general consensus was about 13.7 billion. In fact, if you look up right now any Wikipedia article, pretty much anything about the scientific age of the universe, you can get 13.7 billion. The new age that we think it is, super younger, so, you know, go ahead, Ken Ham, call me a creationist, 12.6 billion years old.
Hallelujah, mate. It's great. Did you wrong, Bo? That's not a thesis. This is a thesis.
So the new results are supposedly more accurate. So this might actually overturn that kind of general consensus that it's at 13.7 and put it back to 12.6. The team recalculated the Tully-Fisher approach. So what they did is they accurately defined the distances basically of these 50 galaxies as a guide. So if you think of the distances between 50 galaxies, one of the problems we've been using is we have these kind of like standard candles and stuff that we can use to gauge distance, but they're very vague. Like there's a big ballpark range in them. And then the fact that not everything's on a linear axis, you imagine that the universe is, you know, three-dimensional, you have these distances that cross diagonals, the hypotenuse, so to speak, of a triangle. And therefore, they might seem to be certain distances away from us, but they're actually different distances away from one another. We've basically been able to, thanks to better telescopes and better math and better computers, kind of compensate for a lot of that stuff and a lot of the different variables. And we used a whole bunch of different standard candles from 50 different galaxies. We use measuring distances of 95 other different galaxies. And this was supposed to be a more accurate approach that accounts for mass and rotational curves of galaxies. Remember, space-time is curved, so that's going to affect the math and affect the results. And in the end, they came out with this new age. This is really interesting. I don't know why this was the fifth page of, like, one science publication. Like this should be a pretty big deal. Knowing how old the universe is one of the fundamental questions of human beings and of the world around us and understanding science and the universe. It's crazy to me that we basically knock, you know, 8% or whatever it is off the age of the universe, and it's not even brought up on any mainstream news sites.
Yeah, the universe's husband was like, I just got 8% of my wrinkles taken away.
Yeah.
And you didn't even notice my hairs did, and nothing.
Nothing.
Now there's a big fight between matter and antimatter.
All right, on to article number 4. A never-before-seen biological phenomenon was captured on tape as research cameras caught a single wasp killing and eating a bird. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. I believe it was Donald Trump Jr. killing a giant ostrich that was actually in a wildlife sanctuary and had to be lured out, I believe. Yeah.
Well, I do think it'd be funny if he was just like visiting a wildlife sanctuary and grabbed like an osprey with a broken wing and just bit its head off Ozzy Osbourne style.
No, it's okay. I've been drinking a lot. I'm on vacation. My dad is president.
I love the idea of telling people it's your actions are okay because you've been drinking.
I said it in an American accent. That's like pretty much Geneva Convention, bro.
This one is indeed science. So, some caveats. It was a baby bird, a 4-day-old baby bird to be exact, a seed eater. So, the wasp was a lone paper wasp, and it was caught on one of those nest cams for the baby bird attacking the bird. So, its parents are out looking for food. This wasp just shows up and starts, like, eating chunks out of this baby bird's head. And like every species, babies are dumb as fuck, and it can't do anything, so it just sits there, even though the wasp is much smaller than it. It can't really defend itself, and it just slowly eats away at its skull until it kills it, and then makes trips back and forth, presumably bringing bits of that bird flesh back to its nest, back and forth. Fucking... Sometimes insects are fucking brutal, and we are so goddamn lucky that, like, the evolution of the world turned out the way it was, because there used to be giant insects everywhere and stuff like that, and, like, evolution could have made more giant insects, and they're just so much more badass than us. Like, on a one-to-one scale, like, human versus a wasp, I don't know, 2,000 humans it would take to beat a wasp-sized human with no weapons? Like, I don't know what that number is, but it's fucking huge.
You're describing the plot to Starship Troopers, by the way.
Yeah, we are! Yeah, like, we, like one-to-one comparison, physically, we suck balls compared to insects, and we are so goddamn lucky that they're small, because, like, these things, if they were even, like, slightly bigger, we'd have a real problem.
Like, the coconut crab in Hawaii?
Yeah, that's
basically it, just a dog-murdering crab.
Yeah, I know, that's a crustacean, technically, but, like, still, like, the just think of, you know, we're talking about murder hornets coming over and how dangerous those are going to be, but, like, if you go back not that long ago, you can find shit, well, I guess it actually is a pretty long time ago, if you go back to, like, the Devonian stuff, you can find stuff that's, like, dog-sized insects, and if you think of, like, a dog can already fuck us up, even though they're one-fourth our size, like, imagine a dog-sized beetle. Yeah, like anything. It would just destroy it. Like, we're just so... Like, what about a scorpion? They used to have, like, dog-sized scorpions. That was a real thing. I don't know...
Can't they not exist now?
Because of oxygen content? We're not sure. We know they were bigger before because of oxygen content, but you could imagine it. It could still evolve. I'm sure a scorpion could evolve to be that size. And, like, at that point, everything would become Texas. We'd all have, like, 50 cal handguns on our hips, just walking around totally terrified.
It'd be the movie Tremors. It would legitimately be the movie Tremors, and we all... Every person... You'd have to walk around strapped. Just as a survival technique.
You know what's crazy? I was reading this the other day, that one of the things we don't realize now is that car trips across the country are completely different than they were in the 1940s and 50s, at least in the United States, because it used to be that you would stop and clean off your windshield every, like, couple miles, basically. Like, you would stop more to clean off your windshield than you would for gas or to go to the bathroom, because there just used to be so many more insects in the world that you couldn't drive very far without your windshield essentially becoming insect guts everywhere. But we have done such a good job at wiping off not only insects, but insects' food supplies and ecosystem that support it and stuff, that now, like, unless you're out in the mountains, it's pretty rare for you to be driving around and just have a windshield full of insects.
Aren't cars a bit more aerodynamic now as well?
True. Yeah, totally.
A certain percentage of mosquitoes just act like 100%. A body. They just get hit with a car and roll off.
Yes, but there is also, like, way more cars on the road, and we travel way faster, so you would kind of expect it to be compensated, but really, we've just depleted insect population, which is great. Like, by the way, when people are like,
take
oh, we
deplete...
Yeah, like, listen, Damien and I are the first people to shed a tear, literally shed a tear, over the double dick nose saiga. We will cry for that beautiful phallus-faced antelope. But when it comes to insects, murder those motherfuckers. Get them out of here. I'm done with malaria. I'm done with getting bit by shit. I'm, like, tired of them ruining picnics. And
that's one of the things they don't tell you about Alaska. I've never been, but I've heard, like, it's just how, like, if you go into the Alaskan wilderness, you will get mosquitoes in your mouth. The swarm is just that intense. And why? Why does this have to happen?
Yeah. We need to do more environmental destruction when it comes to insects. All right. Thank you, audience, for joining us for Science Faction 471, where you learned all about a parasitic fungus that controls the brains of cicadas using psilocybin, how four newly discovered species of assassin fly have been named after Marvel characters, how a new, more precise calculation of the age of the universe has just been released, and how a single wasp was able to murder and eat a bird. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 472.
Hey, honey. Crazy day at the office. Oh, you look good. Did you lose 8% of your total age overnight?
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.